Well, it's time to praise the Lord with our voices and song. Let's take our song sheet and turn to number 10, O God, our help in ages past. Let's sing number 10 together. Trust you have your song sheet. It's in the bulletin. And if you need to get one as we sing, feel free to go and get one. But let's all stand now. Sing, O God, our help in ages past. Well, I want to welcome you here today. It's great to see your faces. And, you know, just look around, see who's here. And it's wonderful to gather around as believers and worship here today. You know, we've got some people that we can't see that are in our church. And some of those are listening here on the recording. So we can't see you, but we hope you're there. And we want to hear from you. So let us know that you're still there. And send us a note, and we'd love to be able to hear that you really are worshiping with us, and but thank you for listening this morning. Love to have you all come back for our evening service at 6:30. We have an evening service here on Sundays, and we have a time we can share together, and that's an important time for us as a church family. So 6:30, trust you'll be here, and those that are listening to, I hope you'll listen again and maybe even come on out or call in. We'd like to have some call-in testimonies, and we think we can make that happen, and so that's a possibility as well. We're still using our Wednesdays for community outreach. We've been doing that, and we're still kind of bumping the time around, but 4:30 is the plan. So we have that last hour of daylight, and we're still going out and trying to give out the gospel in our community. This coming Saturday is the next Women's Fellowship meeting, WMF, and it's going to be at Mickey DeWeese's house. She lives in Chesterville, so I want to invite all ladies to be there on Saturday at 10:30. So that's this coming Saturday. All ladies are invited to Mickey DeWeese's home. Our Thanksgiving service is coming up. It's November the 22nd, and that's always a special time for us to actually give thanks to the Lord and just encourage you to think of what you can be thankful for, maybe over this past year. And so that is planned. We're bumping up the time to 5 p.m. that night. So a little bit change of the time for that evening. Thanksgiving service will be at 5 p.m. And then following that, we are going to plan to serve a dinner here at the church following that service. And that's going to be served by the Pilgrims and Indians. And so we're going to have some guests here. That'll be the young people, hopefully, serving the meal there. And if they would like to dress up as a pilgrim or an Indian, they can do that. And we may at least have some hats that will serve as the differentiation there, pilgrims, Indians. But that will be the plan. You don't have to bring anything for that meal. We're just going to serve the food. And there will be a basket for donations for the meal, but you don't have to bring anything for the meal. On the last Sunday of the month, the Perez family plans to be here on Sunday evening to give report. The Perez's are missionaries from our church. They are church planting in Atlanta, Georgia, among the Hispanics there. They're planning to be here to give a report in the evening service about their ministry. If you're looking ahead to next month, please note that there will be another Women's Fellowship activity on December 5th. That's a Saturday. And they're going to be decorating the church for Christmas, as Christmas is coming next month. And there will be a brunch here at the church for the ladies who would like to come and do that, December the 5th. Then also, as we think about Christmas, we usually do Christmas caroling. I think we're going to have to change that this year because of the virus. But we are going to do caroling here at the church by phone or whatever means that we can reach out remotely. And so the plan is for December the 18th, and we'll plan to have dinner here and hopefully some Christmas cookies for those that would like to come out. The thank offering this year, we always have that as an expression of thanks to the Lord, special offering, really going with our Thanksgiving service. But the offering this year is going to go towards covering the cost of equipment needed to begin live streaming services. And that will provide a live option, live video option, for those not able to attend in the building. That may be some of you have some times like that when you get sick, and if you're sick, don't come. We're saying, especially, I know we probably should have always done that, but you know, especially if you're sick, stay home. And so we'd like to have that just as an option for if you do get sick, you could still join in with our services, or if you know one of the kids gets sick or somebody else that you're caring for, you can still be there. You know, remotely, it's not quite the same, but that'll help us to be able to do that. And of course, those who are at risk and not able to come out, provide that for them. And you know, just also give us the option to broadcast other events in our building, or sometimes there's events that are out of our building. You know, sometimes we have a funeral, and you know, that could happen to any of us at any time, but if that should happen, we'd like to have the ability to live stream that for folks who wouldn't be able to come to such an event like that. And so that would give us the ability to do that. The equipment estimate is about $1,600 to get us something that's going to integrate with our sound system here. And we're trying to cover those costs there. So if you'd like to designate a gift for that, You can use the special offering envelopes or mark it clearly in some way for the thank offering this year. If you remember back before the COVID shutdown here at the church, we were having choir practice. We were getting ready for Easter, and we were having a couple practices. Easter's already passed, but Christmas is coming, and so we'd like to do that again here for the next several Sundays. Really, we just have about four Sundays to practice here. So I want to invite all those of you that were a part of that, if you remember back in March, right before the shutdown, just encourage you to come back. We'll start next Sunday at 5:30. We'll just have about four practices and prepare some special music for Christmas, Christmas Sunday. All right, this Wednesday is Veterans Day, and we just want to recognize our veterans here, and I think we may have a few here, so let me just ask you, if you are a veteran, you served in the United States Armed Forces at some time, would you stand here this morning? We have all of our veterans stand. All right, so we've got a few here, and I think Mr. Ray is Army, Mr. Miller, Army, Mr. Renard's Navy, Mr. Stow, Air Force. Okay, so we've got a number of men here that served, and we appreciate them. I know we've got a few more, Mr. Robinson, who was in the Army, and Mr. Owen, I believe, was also in the Army, Don Owen. And there may be others I've missed. Anybody know any others? Yes. Okay, Mr. Ogden was in the Navy. Okay, all right. So we just appreciate all those that served. Yes.
Don Owens was in the Marines.
Don Owens in the Marines. Okay, so we appreciate him. We just want to recognize our veterans this morning. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. All right. Any prayer requests you'd like to mention this morning here as we're together? Yes. Unspoken for Rob. Okay. And anybody else? Other prayer requests you'd want to mention? Of course, we're praying for our country still, and the results of this election. Still some question marks. Some big question marks. That are in our minds, and so we need to pray for our president especially. All right, anybody else? All right, well, let's take our song sheet now and go to our next song. This is My Father's World. Number 39 will sing.
Thank you.
John chapter 10, and our scripture is also printed on the back of the bulletin, if you'd like to read it there, but we're going to stand now and read responsively John chapter 10, and we're reading verse 22 through verse 30. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Read responsibly. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter.
And Jesus saw them in the temple and saw them flourish.
Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.
Jesus answered them,
But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand.
Let's read verse 30 together. I and my Father are one. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. Let's bow our heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here today and sing this song that we've sung, This is My Father's World. We recognize that you are a sovereign God. You're in control of all the nations of the world, even our nation here today. And we thank you for that. And Father, we especially come to you for our nation and for our president. We ask for special wisdom. We pray, Father, for a legitimate decision to be reached concerning our election this past week, and we pray that you would bring to light the schemes of the wicked, and we pray, Father, that they would not prosper. Father, we recognize that no matter what happens, that you are in control. You are the ruler over this world. This is your world. And you raise up nations, you bring down nations, and we thank you for that truth that we can rest in here today. Father, we thank you for our military. We thank you for these ones in our church that have been recognized today as having served in the armed forces. We thank you for their service, for their years that they served this country, and for the many, many others that are currently serving, that have served. We thank you for the sacrifices that they made and for the freedoms that we enjoy because of them. And we ask that you would preserve these freedoms. As we look ahead to the future, we see some dark clouds. And we pray that you would give us wisdom to know how to serve you in these days ahead. We pray you give us true faith, give us courage to stand for you, we pray. Our Father, we pray for your people here today. Thank you for the ones that have gathered, for the ones that are listening here to this service. And we pray for special wisdom for them. We pray, Lord, for the needs that are here in our church. Thank you that you know each of your sheep. And you know what they're going through. You know the struggles that they have. You know the health needs that they would have, and we pray that you administer your grace to each one. Pray for those who would usually be here today who aren't here. We pray for protection for them, keep them safe in their travels, bring them back again to us, we pray. And Father, we thank you for this assembly and each person that is a part of this church, and we thank you for their ministry. Help us, Lord, to continue to serve you as members of the body here, and We pray also for the elders that you've given here, the leaders of this church. Pray for special wisdom for them. Father, we have come here to worship you, and we thank you that we're able to do that by singing praise to your name. But we also come to bring our gifts to you and to honor you in that way. And we pray that you would be pleased as these tithes and offerings are given to you. We pray that we would give with an attitude of gratefulness for all that you have done for us. We truly have much to be thankful for, all that you have blessed us with our material possessions here. Pray that you'd use these offerings for your honor and glory. Our Father, we think of our missionaries that serve all around the world, even today, ministering your word. We pray for special protection for them. We ask that you would encourage them in their ministry for you. We pray that the gospel would go forth because of what they do. Think of the Zartmans as we have this letter from them. They're serving in Mexico, and we've heard about the increasing restrictions that they are under. And we pray that you would give them wisdom as they minister under those restrictions. We pray that the gospel would continue to go forth. Our Father, we pray for our mission field here in this community. We ask that you would allow us to have a witness for you, and that the gospel would go forth even from our own local assembly here. And we pray for ones that have been visited here in our local community recently. We ask that you would do a work in their hearts. We pray that they would turn to you, that they would be able to read these tracts and gospel portions, and that your Holy Spirit would draw them. And we ask you for that today. Use us all individually, we pray. Help us to be your representatives and to be used in the way that we live for you, the way that we speak for you. We pray that you would give us opportunity to witness on your behalf. We look forward to what you will do. And Father, we thank you again for this privilege of meeting here today. We ask that you would be honored as we continue to worship you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work as we consider your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take our song sheet again, and we'll turn to our next song.
Thank you.
time, we'll have some special music from a ladies' trio. Ladies, appreciated that ministry. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 10 again. John chapter 10. We've been in the Gospel of John, going verse by verse through this book, and we've been talking about sheep. We've seen how Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." So, what do sheep look like? You know what sheep look like? I see a hand there. Yes, what do sheep look like? You know, there's some animals that look similar to sheep, but they're not sheep. Goats. Goats can look about the same size, but they're not the same as sheep. Of course, they don't act the same. They don't have the same behavior patterns. They are hyperactive and rowdy, and sheep are not that way. They like to be in the flock, and goats are more independent. But we see here that Jesus describes what sheep look like, not in terms of their hair and their wool and things like that, but he describes them in a different way. And we're looking at this here. We saw that last time Jesus revealed himself as the good shepherd. He sacrifices, he knows, he seeks, he serves unlike any other shepherd. And here we see what his sheep look like from God's perspective. We're told that some time went by here. In verse 22, it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Feast of Dedication seems to be what we know today as the Jewish festival that we, I think, typically call the Feast of Lights or Hanukkah. And it kind of coincides with our Christmas season. And perhaps you are aware of what that feast celebrates, but there was a time in Jewish history, this was after the Old Testament times, but between the New Testament times, there was a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes who took over the temple, and he offered a pig on the altar. Of course, Antiochus is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist coming in the future. But he offered that pig, he took over the temple, and then the Jews, of course, were very offended by that. Their worship stopped. But then there was a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus, or Judas the Hammer. And Judas Maccabeus and his men took over the temple again, and they were able to capture it back and reinstitute the worship of Israel, the worship of the Jews. And that's what that feast celebrates, the Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. It was a time of light when Israel was in darkness. They had no worship, and then God gave them light again, and it was restored to them. And so it was at this time, it was the winter season there in Israel. We're told that Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. This was an area of that temple complex that was covered over with a roof. And so probably being that time of year, it would have been rainy for their winter, and so he's walking under a covered area, and that would be an area where the early church would also meet, Solomon's porch or Solomon's colonnade. And here we have another confrontation with the Jews or Jesus' enemies. And in the midst of this and Jesus' reply, we see Jesus identify what his real sheep look like, what the real children of God look like. Notice what these Jews say in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Here we see another demand from the Jews, probably the Jewish authorities here. Of course, they are not the real sheep. They are the goats in this passage of Scripture. And they come again challenging Jesus. Are you the Christ? How long dost thou make us to doubt? Literally, the original here says something like, How long will you lift up our souls? Perhaps we would say, How long would you leave us hanging about this? Just tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Remember that word Christ is not just Jesus' last name. That's a title that signifies the Messiah. God had promised in the Old Testament that he would send somebody to deliver his people and to set up his kingdom there in Israel. That was the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And from their perspective, Jesus hasn't revealed that plainly. But that's an important issue. John tells us it's part of the purpose of this book, this Gospel of John, John 20, 31. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know, it's important to recognize that rightly. And that's really the issue here. What do real sheep look like? Well, they recognize the shepherd. They recognize the shepherd. You know, the popular idea of the Messiah here at this time was something different than what Jesus wanted people to know about him. You know, why didn't Jesus just answer and say, Yes, it's me. Here I am. I'm the Messiah. Everybody notice me. I'm the promised one of God. Why didn't he say that? Well, it's because, I believe, their idea of the Messiah was not his idea, or at least it wasn't the idea that he wanted them to think about at that time. And to answer yes would have been misleading, because the problem was that their idea was the Messiah was political. You remember the time in which Jesus ministered here, the Romans were in power. The Romans had rule over Palestine, and the Jews didn't like that. And they really wanted somebody to come and throw off this Roman rule. They were hoping that's what Messiah would do. You remember after the feeding of the 5,000, we looked at in John chapter 6, everybody had their tummies full. And what did they want to do after that? They wanted to take Jesus and make him king right then and there. They wanted him to be the political ruler. They wanted him to rescue them. John chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" But then it says this, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." Jesus was not there to be their political ruler. He fled from that. Now one day he will be. The government will be upon his shoulders, as Isaiah says. But that was not what he came to do. That was not the aspect Jesus came for in his first coming. You know, here we are all thinking about the political problems in our country right now, or the issues that are going on. And I believe that God does care about that. In fact, he is involved in all the political situations of all the nations, even ours, even this week. In the book of Daniel, we're reminded of that. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35 says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What doest thou?'" So what about the cheaters? What about the cheaters out there? Aren't they messing with God's plans? No, they're really not. Nobody can stay God's hand and say to him, "What are you doing?" Nothing can keep God from doing his will on this planet Earth. The Apostle Paul spoke to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 about God and his control and his involvement here on planet Earth. And he told those pagans that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Paul was talking about the nations of the world, that God has determined the times before appointed. You say, "Wait a minute, I thought we determined that. We have an election. We decide what's going to happen, what's not going to happen." Well, yes, we do, but ultimately, it's God that determines that. God determines the times of those nations and the bounds of their habitation, even the borders. God determines that. And God is involved in that. The Lord is in control of the nations. But far more important here, as Jesus speaks to these people of his day, far more important than the political situation, than the political aspect of the Christ, which is coming in the future in the millennium, is the spiritual aspect, the spiritual ministry of the Christ. And that's what he wanted to emphasize to these people. That's what his sheep recognize about their shepherd. They see who he really is, not because of his political power, but his spiritual ministry. The real sheep recognize the shepherd as the Messiah because of what he's already said. And Jesus answers verse 25, "I told you, and ye believed not." Jesus has already had a significant ministry teaching them. You say, well, where did Jesus tell them directly that he was the Messiah? Well, he has very directly stated back in John chapter 8. You remember, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." That was about the clearest statement that he made to them. Of course, he told the woman at the well privately, very clearly, that he was the Messiah, the Christ, in John chapter 4. But you know, in an even greater way, Jesus told them, and he reminds them about that, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Jesus had given them a great evidence, great proof of the fact that he is the Christ, the works that he did. He healed the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. He healed the man born blind. And they got all mad at him about that. And in the next chapter here, in John chapter 11, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And everybody's going to see that. "The works that I do in my Father's name," he says, "they bear witness of me." Recognize what he's already done. Real sheep recognize the shepherd. They recognize the shepherd. And then the second thing real sheep do, here's what real sheep look like. They recognize the shepherd, but also they respond to the shepherd. Notice verse 26. "But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Real sheep respond to the shepherd. Jesus reveals the problem here. These Jews he's talking to, these religious leaders, they have a problem. They have not responded. They do not believe. They do not have faith. They were persistent unbelievers. They were blind because of their unbelief. But in contrast to that, Jesus says, real sheep, his sheep, respond to the shepherd. They hear. They respond by hearing. This word is a word that means to accept, to listen to pay attention to. You know, you can hear sounds coming into your ears, going against your eardrums, but that doesn't mean that you're really hearing like Jesus is talking about that real sheep do. Real sheep hear. They pay attention to the shepherd's word. They hear, first of all, how Jesus explains in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You know, that is the first step in hearing. Hearing Jesus' word and believing on him that sent me. Jesus says you have everlasting life. It's not just making a profession, saying the right words, doing the right things, going through the motions, but actually paying attention to what God says in his word and believing that. That's hearing. That's responding. But also there's a hearing and obeying. So paying attention to God and his word and what he says and obeying. That's what real sheep do. I heard a story of an Indian, an American Indian, who was taking a trip with a friend to New York City. And of course, in New York City, there's all kinds of noise. There's taxi cabs driving everywhere and cars screeching, and this American Indian and his friend were walking down the street, and the Indian stops and he says, "Wait a minute, I hear a cricket. There's a cricket somewhere." And his friend says, "What? What are you talking about? How can you possibly hear a cricket?" But sure enough, he went over, and there was an area where there were some plants there, and he reached down, and he bent in. Sure enough, he found a cricket. And he heard that cricket. And say, how could you ever hear a cricket in this noise? The Indian said, well, it depends on what is really important to you. And he showed him something else. He got in his pocket and he pulled out some money, some coins, and he dropped them on the sidewalk. And everybody heard that. They heard the sound of those coins dropping on the sidewalk. Came around and said, well, there's this money somewhere. And people heard that in the midst of all of that noise of New York City. And the Indian said, see what I mean? It all depends on what's important to you. What do real sheep do? What's important to real sheep? God's word. God's word. Real sheep, real children of God that follow the shepherd, they consider God's word to be important. They pay attention to that. They hear that. They want to know it and follow it. They want to grow in it. You know, there's some people that claim to be sheep. They'd say, oh, yeah, I'm a sheep. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. But do they really pay attention to God? Do they really follow God? Do they try to hear God's voice? Are they paying attention to it? And Jesus says that these sheep that respond to him, they're known by him. Verse 27 again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. We've seen that in this chapter, that Jesus knows his sheep. He knows their name. He doesn't just know their number, or their social security number, or their ID number. He knows them. Jesus, when God says he knows somebody in the Bible, he knows them personally. He knows everything about them. The Bible says in Nahum 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Now, that's how the shepherd is towards his sheep. He knows them. He cares about them. Yes, they're going through trouble. They're going through sickness. They're going through hard times. That doesn't mean that God has forgotten about them. No, even in the day of trouble, God says, the Lord knows them that trust in him. And then they respond by following. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, the real sheep follow the shepherd in his steps. They look at the shepherd and they want to go the way the shepherd goes. They're not going off and doing their own thing. They're following the shepherd as he leads them in the way that he wants them to go. You know, for Christians, for children of God, they follow the shepherd. They follow the example of the shepherd. The children of God walk in the light where the shepherd walks, not in darkness. The real sheep follow the shepherd and they serve the shepherd. They serve others. They deny themselves and take up their crosses. That's what Jesus says it means to follow him, to serve him sacrificially. These are the real sheep. They respond to the shepherd. You know, there's some people that claim to be sheep. They say, yeah, I'm a sheep. I'm a real sheep. I'm saved. I know God. But they're not following the shepherd. They're not following in his way, in the way of the light and truth. They're going a different way. They're going in the way of sin. They're following their own way. That's not a real sheep. Or doesn't look like it anyway. A real sheep follows in the shepherd's way. Real sheep, they recognize the shepherd. They recognize who he really is. They accept his word and what he's done. They respond. They hear and believe. They hear and obey and follow. And they're known by the shepherd. And then a third way we can see what a real sheep looks like is here in verses 28 to 30. And that is real sheep rely on the shepherd. Real sheep recognize, real sheep respond, and real sheep rely. Real sheep are given the gift of eternal life. Look at verse 28. Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Real sheep, what do they have? Well, they have a gift. They have a gift of eternal life. Jesus says, "I give them eternal life." What does that mean? Well, it means life that never ends. It goes on and on. And yes, we are in these mortal bodies that will probably die if the Lord does not return. But He gives us, in spite of that, a life that is unending. It goes on and on. Jesus would say later in John 11, the very next chapter here, He's going to explain to Martha, as her brother had passed, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And Jesus, the shepherd, gives his sheep unending, everlasting, eternal life. He gives that to them as a gift. And that gift includes protection from the opposite here, which is perishing. "And they shall never perish." That word is a word that's translated destroy. Over in Matthew 10, verse 28, where it is seen to take place in hell. Perishing is something that takes place in hell. We can see that because we see the same word in Matthew 10:28, where Jesus says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy." That's a word here for perish, same word. To destroy both soul and body in hell. Here and in other places of Scripture, perishing is the opposite of eternal life. It's the very opposite of it. Which shows us that it does not mean that a person will be annihilated and cease to exist. It's the very opposite of eternal life. It's eternal death, which goes on and on forever. Eternal punishment. It's also an existence of unending, eternal, everlasting torment. But Jesus says, "I give my sheep eternal life." And that includes protection from the opposite of that which some people will experience and are experiencing right now. Protection from perishing. They shall never perish. They shall never perish. Real sheep rely on the shepherd's gift of eternal life. But there's something else here. Jesus goes beyond that and gives another promise here in verse 28. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The word pluck here in the original is perhaps a little more forceful even than it sounds in English here. It's a Greek word harpazo. And it means to rob, to forcibly seize upon, to snatch away. Have you ever had somebody rob you or take something forcibly from you? To steal from you? A friend of ours recently had something taken from her. She was up at Hobby Lobby in Ontario. And she had her phone and credit card stolen from her while she was in Hobby Lobby, and she found out that the person went and took her card over to the sporting goods store, tried to make thousands of dollars of purchases there, and thankfully her bank stopped it, so she didn't have to go through all of that. But she was saying that afterwards she realized what happened. She was in one of the aisles there in Hobby Lobby, and she remembered a couple passed by her kind of close in one of those aisles, and she had her purse open. And she thinks what happened, at least, that couple went by and they just snatched that phone with her cards right out of her purse. And of course, they had masks on, you know, real far up to their eyes. And they plucked it right out of her purse. And they stole it. And that's this word. This is the word pluck, to steal, to rob. And there's people that want to snatch your possessions and your identity here. And there may even be people who are trying to steal the real sheep and to pull them right away from the shepherd. You know, there may be some of you that know what that feels like. What it feels like to have someone pull at you, to try to pull you away from Jesus Christ. Say, don't follow that way. Don't go in that way. And you can feel that pull. The shepherd holds the sheep tightly in his hand. He has a firm grip. The shepherd holds his sheep. You notice here that it is not that the sheep have a firm grip on the shepherd, but it's that the shepherd has a firm grip on the sheep. The shepherd holds them in his hand. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that there are those who object to the doctrine that's taught here in this verse, the doctrine of eternal security. Fierce debate about eternal security by some Christians, and some would say, no, we don't believe this. It can be dangerous, they would say, and it gives excuse for people to sin. If they know that the shepherd holds them and their salvation is secure, they're going to go and do whatever they want. Well, no, the real sheep, as Jesus has just told us here, the real sheep hear and obey the shepherd. The real sheep, they follow the shepherd. The shepherd holds them securely. I read a story about two men who were debating on this issue, the issue of eternal security. The question of the believer's safety in Christ, they were talking about it. And the one said to the other, I'll tell you, a child of God is safe only as long as he stays in the lifeboat. He may jump out, and if he jumps out of that lifeboat of salvation, he's lost. And the other man said, you remind me of an incident that in my own life, I took my little son out with me in a boat. And I realized, as he did not, the danger of his falling or even jumping into the water, so I sat with him all the time. All the time I held him fast so he could neither fall out nor jump out of the boat. The other man said, but he could have gotten away. He could have wriggled out of his coat and jumped out of that lifeboat. And the man said to him, you misunderstood me if you suppose that I was holding his coat. He said, I was holding him. I was holding him. And that's the way it is with our shepherd, with the real sheep. He holds you. If you're a real sheep, he holds you. Real sheep are secure not because of their grip, but because of God's. And if that were not enough to rely on for a real sheep, Jesus adds more here in verse 29. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. See, the Father is also at work. He's given the real sheep to Jesus from eternity past. We go a step further here in verse 28. We have a guarantee about the future. Jesus had said that about the future here in verse 28. Neither shall any man pluck them out. In verse 29, we have a guarantee about the possibility. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No one is able. It's not even possible. It's not possible that anyone or anything can take a real child of God away from God. If they are truly genuine and real, it's not possible. Then Jesus adds this note about oneness with his Father here in verse 30. He says, I and my Father are one. What does that mean? Well, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that Jesus and the Father are the same person. It doesn't mean that Jesus and the Father are the same person. You know, Jesus is different from the Father. There are times in the Scripture, even in this book, that we're going to see that Jesus, he prays to the Father. He's praying to God the Father. There's Jesus praying to God the Father. Two persons. You know, if we would say that they're the same person, that would be a denial of another very important doctrine in the Scripture, and that is the doctrine of the Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all three persons. But there's also a oneness among the persons of the Trinity. It's not a oneness of their person. It's a oneness of their nature, first of all. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. There's a oneness in nature. And here, perhaps, we could see a oneness in their action. Here we see that they are both God the Father and Jesus are perfectly involved in a particular action here, and that is the protection and the security of the real sheep, the real children of God. Both the Father and the Son are one in their action of protecting the true sheep. What do real sheep look like? They recognize the shepherd. Do you recognize the shepherd? Do you see who Jesus really is? Do you see him not just as a political savior, although he is that, in the future he will be, but as the savior who is sent from God to deal with our sins? Do you see him? Do you recognize him as a shepherd? Do you respond to the shepherd? Real sheep respond to the shepherd. They hear, they follow. And then real sheep rely on the shepherd. They don't rely on themselves for salvation. They receive the gift of salvation that Jesus gives them. They rely on that. They rely on the protection that Jesus, the shepherd, gives them. He holds them in his hand. Nobody can take them out, steal them. Do you rely on the shepherd? You know, if you're really to that point where you can say that you're a real sheep, that you recognize the shepherd, that you respond, and that you are relying 100% on Jesus Christ for your salvation and for your eternal protection, if you get to that point, you can say, yes, I know that is me. It doesn't matter who's the president of the United States. If you know that you're saved, if you know that you're eternally secure, that's the greatest thing that you could ever have in your life, to know that you are saved, that no matter what happens in this world, in this nation, you have salvation, and nobody, the government can't take that from you. Nobody can take that faith from you. It's secure. It's one of the things that we have in this life that we know. What a blessing that is. If you are a real sheep, to rejoice in that and to know that you're saved. Would you bow your heads this morning as we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of eternal life that you offer to us. And we pray perhaps for some who are listening here today that need to respond to you. We pray that you would help them to do that. Give them faith to see who Jesus is, to turn from their sins, to receive that gift and the promise that goes with that, the promise of eternal security. What a blessing that is. We pray that you'd help us as your sheep not to wander and stray, but to follow you. Help us to pay attention to your words that we have in the Scriptures before us. We thank you that you are our shepherd, and even in times of trouble, you know us and you care for us. And we thank you for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our song sheet again, and we'll sing one final song.